Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Blackbusters.
What's cracking, family? We are back at it again with another episode of Blackbusters, the best movie review podcast in the world.
In the world, Craig.
In the world, Craig.
In the world, Craig.
I'm your host, Big Ja. Mm-hmm. And this is my co-host,
Tone 2. It was either going to be Tone Deep, which kind of felt a little pornographic, right? Oh. Right, so I couldn't do that one. So if Tyrese is O2, I'm Tone 2.
Tyrese as O2, mm-hmm, on in the film Waist Deep.
Yeah.
Waist Deep, man, 2006, mm-hmm, hood banger, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 06, almost 20 years ago, man. Time flies. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, man, Waist Deep, Tyrese Gibson, baby girl, Megan Good,
Lawrence Tate,
The Game, mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? And it was written by Vondi Curtis Hall, Darren Scott, Michael Mahern, and directed by Vondi Curtis Hall.
He did good.
Yeah. You know what? Let me just start by saying this. When I see L.A., I'm an L.A. boy. We L.A. guys, right? Mm-hmm. When I see movies depicting L.A., I be looking to see how authentic it looks.
Yeah, yeah.
They got that.
Yes.
It's authentic.
Yeah.
I feel it. I felt like I was looking at a movie that's in L.A.
Yeah.
And the actors are from L.A. Even if they aren't, mm-hmm, they make me feel that they are.
The location scouting was from people that know that neighborhood.
Yes. You could tell.
Yeah.
And so off that alone, that could make or break a project for me. If you, mm-hmm, if you show me some West Coast LA stuff, and I feel like it's not in LA.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In this case, they passed that test. It's a good look. Tyrese is an ex-con. His name is O2. That's what the hood calls him.
Yep.
Otis Jr. is his name.
I think that's his name.
His name was Otis, I believe.
Yeah.
Otis.
Otis Samuel.
Yeah.
Senior.
Yeah, indeed. And he is an ex-con working security at a security job, right? Mm-hmm. And he's a single father taking care of his son.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? His mom is not in the picture. The mom is not in the picture. And so the movie starts off with him just being at work and him going to go pick his son up from school.
Mm-hmm.
And any given day in L.A., he got a nice little rag top. What was he driving? Not an Impala necessarily, but it was something.
Yeah, it was convertible.
It was a convertible something.
Yeah.
It was nice. And he picked his son up from school. His son's in the back seat, chilling, mm-hmm, having a good time. And he's at a light.
Yeah.
A light in the hood. And sometimes night or daytime could be a bad look for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he gets carjacked. Some dudes run up on him, put a gun in his face, and they get out the car right now.
Now let me ask you a question. Did you, because I'm trying to remember this, you know, how the story played out. But do you think the carjacking was purely coincidence?
We find out that
it was always a setup.
Right.
It was always a setup to not only take the car, but take the boy.
Right.
Okay. We don't know that at the beginning.
At first, we thought it was just a regular carjacking, mm-hmm, which could happen in L.A., I know a few people who've been that, and some of them didn't make it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and it was daytime or nighttime. So, yes, I thought it was a carjacking that happened to go wrong.
Just a rando. Yeah.
Random carjack that had his son in the back, and they drove off with his son in the back. And we later found out that that was by design. Mm-hmm. All right. So he gets carjacked. He runs after the car. It's too late. Car's gone. Mm-hmm. And he finds out that who jacked his car. He asks his homeboy playing Lorenz Tate, who plays a great hood LA nigga.
It's so interesting because watching Lorenz Tate's Lucky, the whole movie I was asking myself, is he in on it?
Boom.
Right?
Okay.
Like the whole movie.
Yes.
I was like, because he was supposed to be picking up Junior.
Right.
From, you know, from the school, and he didn't. So that's right. Why Tyrese has to leave the job with the gun. He's in contact with games people, mm-hmm. Big Meat. Like, he knows, you know, where Junior is. He owes money. Right?
So let's get to that. Let's
right,
get to that.
Right, right.
So I did think, we're on the same page. I thought that Lucky was a little involved in the situation.
Yeah.
He was supposed to pick up Junior, and he did not.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he had to leave work and go do it. He hasn't delivered his take. I mean, Tyrese. O2. Mm-hmm. O2 picks his son up. He gets jacked. They take his car with his son in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
He's running after his son. And then he goes to Lorenz Tate's crib, Lucky. Mm-hmm. Hey, bro, you had one job, dog. You couldn't do that. You were sitting here over here getting high, being silly, doing mm-hmm. nothing. And so you kind of think like, that's what happened. He was probably like, backstory, you start thinking like, Big Meat Pauls is the game's character.
Mm-hmm.
He plays like the one of the big drug dealers or one of the big hood like leaders of some crew.
He controls some territory.
He controls a lot of the territory in L.A. in these areas. And he is connected to Lucky. Mm-hmm. He's connected to he has an old history with O2. We find that out later.
Yep, yep.
So it could have been a situation where Lucky was like, "Hey, man, if you know, I know you're trying to get a hold of him, but I'm supposed to pick up his son from school tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I want you to know you ain't gonna pick him up.
Yeah,
we gotta make sure he picks him up. But at the same time, this is why I don't think that Lucky was involved. Even before we find out that he wasn't.
Yeah.
Lucky could have picked him up and still got carjacked.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so instead of jacking O2, he could have just jacked Lucky.
Lucky is suspicious for me the entire movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
A, it's suspicious that he's business acquainted with the crew that carjacks O2 and takes Junior.
Mm-hmm.
That's suspicious. The other piece is that he owes money, and he knows he owes money. Even in the end, and I know I'm jumping all the way to the end,
mm-hmm.
things just happen to work out for Lucky.
Right.
He's actually set O2 up, right? Like, mm-hmm. O2 thinks he's showing up with Lucky for the jewelry exchange on the money, and games people are there, right? And that's because Lucky snitched. He didn't know that there was going to be a plan and that O2 was going to Jason Bourne himself out of the situation. It just so happened to work out that way. But he's kind of shady the whole movie. He's always calling and asking, like the way he asked O2, you getting that money? You know, you got to get that money. You got to find that money. Like, you find that money yet? Right? Like, it's just like, that seems like somebody that's in on it. Right, like,
or it seems like this is an untrustworthy ass nigga that you got love for.
Yeah,
because not untrustworthy, like he gonna snake you, like he not gonna stab you in the back,
mm-hmm.
but he's going to do things and finesse things to kind of help him in his fate, and help benefit him in the long run.
Yeah,
until it comes time to see you get killed, and then I save your life,
and then he steps up.
Yeah, because he wasn't in on it. He's a half ass nigga.
Yeah.
He's the type of dude that does shit not complete. He does shit 70%.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's on drugs too.
And you know what I'm saying? But he wasn't on like powder or shit like that.
I mean,
wasn't crack. That,
I mean, he was smoking the weed. Yeah. Okay. So yeah.
He might have been laced. It might have been the Primo or something. You know.
Sounds like a 70s Republican. He's on the reefer.
He's on the grass.
He's on the grass.
Now, all right, so. And we are jumping around a lot, but that's okay because, yes, Lucky plays Lorenz Tate, and Lorenz Tate plays Lucky,
mm-hmm.
and we do kind of feel like, damn, is he about to stab?
Is he in on it?
But I don't think he is. I just think he's not too smart.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's the type of dude that can't get right.
Yeah.
You fucking up the lead. Just go pick up my son, your nephew.
I mean, it's very that right. stupid that like A, Lucky, we're spending a little time on Lucky. Lucky knows how O2 is, you know, getting this money, right? Like, you know, because O2 links with Megan Good's character, Coco, and they decide that they're going to raise the money.
Right.
Right? They're going to raise the money because there's a bounty or, you know, a ransom on Junior. And so Lucky knows, you know, all the different banks that they're robbing and things that they're, you know, the different spots that they're doing. Why would you go to game
what?
With the jewels?
I thought that too. Because the jewel, he went to a safety deposit box. All right, so real quick. We got Tyrese's character O2 driving, and this girl walks up past him.
Yeah.
She's selling dresses and clothes and stuff like that. That girl name is Megan Good. Her name is Coco. She basically distracts him, right?
Yep.
He gets his attention. She's flirting with him and this and the other. And then next thing you know, she walks off and he gets jacked. He's not seeing niggas pull up. He gets jacked, right? Mm-hmm. And so now that he feels like she's in on it. So after he gets jacked and they drive off with the car, he sees her still watching as a standby, a bystander. He goes, approaches her, hems her up. It's like, you going to tell me what you know about what just happened.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. And she's like, take me back to wherever you know these niggas be at that jacked me.
Right.
Makes her take him back to this chop shop, basically, where Darius Love, which I love his character.
Yeah.
I like him. He used to be in more shit.
Yeah.
And he plays Rock.
Yeah.
And I guess he's like her pimp or something like that too, or he's in control of her in some way.
Yeah.
If not her, another dude. Actually, and it was another guy that she kept talking about was like had her.
But he's a minion.
He's a minion that's like slapping her up and gets beat up by Tyrese's character.
Yeah.
And in her honor or something like that. He basically was an extra. He had no real reason to be in the movie other than to play that part in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that he should have been in the movie a little more. And that's okay. That's just how I get there. When I see characters and actors I like, I'd be wanting to see more of them.
Yep, yep.
But so now he's basically put her in a situation. And she's like, "Hey, man, I'm in a bad spot. I don't have nobody but this guy. Mm-hmm. If I help you." It's gonna fall back on me. And I'm gonna get killed.
I'm dead out here.
He said, "Well, if you don't help me, I'm gonna do something to you," which I don't believe he would.
Right, right.
And if you do help me, I can help you get yourself out of this situation. You can leave town,
win-win,
and be gone. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Damn, she ain't never had a man or anybody try to help her get out of her situation."
And this is after he physically defended her.
Right,
right. Like and, you know, whooped on homie.
Yeah, on Rock.
Yeah. So she sees that like. He's capable.
And he's capable. For one, he's just as gangster as these dudes out here.
Yeah.
And he has his son. That's his motive.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's not going to stop.
Right.
So she got a very driven man that's on her side.
She's on his side. She's in on it.
Right. I'm in now. So now I know his whole operation. I know Rock's operation. Mm-hmm. I know Meat's operation. I know everyone's operation.
And you know what? Like, it's believable because obviously Coco can be taken in by strong men.
Mm-hmm.
A part of the reason why she's in the trouble that she's in is because she's under the thumb of men, of right. guys, right? She just happened to find one that, you know, is more like closely aligned to maybe like doing right and doing good.
Right.
Before we go a little bit too far in the story, what did you think about Tyrese's acting?
I'm gonna keep it 100. People respond. People have made comments about his acting, and I don't know. Is it me? I don't really be distracted by it too much.
See, I think that like Tyrese plays a great grump.
Yeah,
he just
always angry.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Like he's a great grump, and because he stays in that pocket, you don't really get any other emotions besides grumpy, right? Mm-hmm. He's kind of grumpy the entire movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And so in a way, he pulls it off because he don't really do too much. Mm-hmm. You know, when he's making love, he's grumpy, right? Like when he's robbing niggas, he's grumpy. When he's talking to Lucky, he's grumpy. So I think that like he plays like a good, bitter, grumpy, angry hood bro. Right? So I think he pulls it off. Now, what about Megan Good? Mm. Did Megan Good pull off what's supposed to be an around-the-way girl in Waist Deep?
Okay.
We know Lorenz Tate did his thing as Lucky.
Oh, yeah. Lorenz, he does work, though.
But was Megan Good's Coco believable to you?
Was it believable? I'm going to say yes, because I know girls like Megan Good. Mm-hmm. They went to Westchester. They went to Hamilton and Laces and mm-hmm. shit like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They didn't go to Jefferson
right.
or Dorsey or Crenshaw or Washington. They didn't go to those schools. Those girls I know went to Hamilton. They still hood, but they like hood adjacent.
Yeah.
They went to like I said, the Westchesters. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? For example, there were times where I watched a movie and I'd be like, man, why they got her doing this?
Yeah.
Why they got him doing this?
Yeah.
They could have had somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
Could they have somebody else for her? For sure. Did she do it? Could she be replaced? For sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think she did a bad enough job for me to be like, oh, nah, man, get her out of here. What does Megan Good doing acting? No,
yeah.
not
yeah.
at all. Is she Taraji mm-hmm. playing Yvette?
Right.
No, Yvette is for sure went to all those schools I mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
Yvette for sure.
That's a really good comparison.
You know what I'm saying? And no disrespect to Megan Good. I thought she's a beautiful woman and she's a solid actress.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never looked at Megan Good and been like, get her out of there. Me personally, no, I haven't.
I love Megan Good.
I like Megan Good. So, yeah. But to be like, if we were giving her superhood, I felt like her personality, her character, she is the girl that's like doesn't belong in the hood.
Okay.
So
that hits the
you
mark.
You know what I'm saying?
That hits the mark for me.
So kind of like,
I'll take that. Yeah.
She ends up doing well.
She's real fish out of water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I know she's a foster kid too.
Yeah.
She's a foster kid. So she's probably been and she probably grew up halfway in Montebello, Compton, Culver City.
And she's in L.A. caught up now.
Right. You know what I'm saying? I got a homeboy who's a foster kid, him and his brother, mm-hmm. and he a hood nigga. He grew up in Watson, Compton, this and the other. He got his brother who's a year older than him or mm-hmm. a year or two, a year and a half, whatever.
Yeah.
Grew up in like Whittier.
Right. Right.
Two different types of niggas.
So
they had different. So they both from the hood. They both foster kids. Mm-hmm. But the one is this grew up. He grew up so different. And this other one grew up in this area. So I can see making good. Her being a foster kid makes sense. That she's not comfortable anywhere.
Right, right.
So I'll take whatever acting she gave us as an L.A. street girl, mm-hmm. I'll take it because she didn't probably grow up grandmama's house. She didn't grow up the same way that Jody's mom did. Jody's mom grew up in that house that now she owns because her grandmother passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so she grew up in that neighborhood the whole life. This foster kid girl, Coco, she grew up everywhere.
Yeah.
She probably stayed in Oakland for a couple of times. She probably stayed in San Diego, mm-hmm. Compton. She's
San Bernardino.
Everywhere. She has no culture, no family.
This is really good. You've done good work there.
Boom.
Like, so for me, so what's interesting is that at first I was like, well, you can't just throw a mini skirt and some hoop earrings on any black girl and make her hood.
Right.
And call her hood, right? Mm-hmm. And so at first I thought that's kind of like, oh, you know what I mean? But Megan Good does play the character well with a certain charm
mm-hmm.
that like is believable, but but she's still sweet Megan Good.
Right.
She's still the Megan Good that we all Disney. Love. You know what I mean? Like, Disney. You know, our cousin. But I do think that like she pulled it off well. I just feel like Megan Good is like our generation Zendaya, right?
Oh.
And I almost feel like Zendaya would not have to do Waist Deep.
Oh no,
in her career, right?
No, not at all.
And so the fact that like Megan Good has to do Waist Deep to work, I appreciate her for the try and the effort, but fundamentally she doesn't belong in this movie. Right? Does that make sense? And I'm not knocking her, right? Like, you know, because she's an actress.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this is not the... And she does good in this movie.
Right.
But like, I don't necessarily feel like she should have been in Waist Deep.
Right. Okay, so she's from... Me and her the same age. She's actually a couple months older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's from Panorama City.
Yeah.
Right.
And Santa Clarita.
Right. Mm-hmm. So she's up that way. Yeah. So she's different black.
She's not a hood girl.
She's not a hood chick.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. You know, she's a black girl. She's a sister. She's definitely not whitewashed.
None of
like
that. None of that. None of that.
But she could have easily, like, let's say this girl, Coco, had a sister that also was a foster kid but grew up in Panorama City,
mm-hmm.
not in South Central.
Yeah.
She would play that girl.
Yeah.
She'd play the sister of,
Hey,
Coco, you should stop doing this.
Yeah.
You're better than this. Well, you know, everyone didn't grow up with foster parents that put him into private school.
Yeah.
She's that girl.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So right. Coco, but the question is now, who plays Coco, that age range?
See, that's really interesting because...
This is 2006.
Yeah, and this is Megan turning a corner off the kiddie stuff.
Right.
So I appreciate the effort.
She probably asked for this.
Yeah, like she wanted this particular role. Uh-huh. So I don't know, like, who else, you know...
I'm going to keep it 100. People our age, the women in our age, think of it, like, as far as singers, we got the Beyoncés, mm-hmm. we got the Alicia Keys's. You know what I'm saying? Those women are in our age. The Ashantis, they're in their 40s now. You know what I'm saying? Right. Back then when they were who? But as an actress, how many women that are now, the women that was acting back then was the Tarajis who were older than us mm-hmm. by 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
The Sanaas, the Nia Longs. These are the women that were acting, that were the leading black actresses.
Yeah. And none of them belong in this movie.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So at this point, you had to either introduce a new face or a woman that's reinventing herself as a leading, you know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to think.
Yeah. Because after that, think of it like the women who are doing their thing now. The Zoe Kravitz, she's in her
30s. Yeah, yeah.
She would have been a teenager. What's her name? Tessa Thompson. Mm-hmm. Tessa Thompson, once again, is our age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But she's the same age as Megan Good, give or take a year or two. But she's another girl that's kind of valley.
Yeah.
Not from the hood. I think she's from Culver City. She's from like the super west side.
See, like, could you have cast Monica?
No, because she can't act.
She can't act.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And here's the thing. Yeah. I'm going to keep it 100. Mm-hmm. Not saying, Monica, I love you. You're one of my favorite female vocalists.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite. I'm not dissing you. You ain't did nothing in the movie to make me feel like you could do that.
Yeah.
So she might be able to act.
She might have been the only one.
You know what I'm saying? And Brandy's from here. You know what I'm saying? By way of Virginia or something like that. But
she can't play that role either.
Come on, man.
Yeah,
she can't play that role either.
Yeah, it's so tough.
It's 2006, a black girl from the hood, from South Central LA.
Yeah.
Who was going to play that? Megan Good.
Right.
Because Nia, think about it like this. In Friday, Megan Good was a little girl. Nia Long was the young girl in her 20s playing Friday in 96.
You made a lot of good points.
10 years ago.
Yeah, you made a lot of good points.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Right? So, I mean, like, you know. It's interesting because, you know, they have Megan Good playing a hustler. She's an in the streets hustler. She knows spots. She's in and out of spots. And I think Megan did well, but I think it was definitely challenging.
What you could have did.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely right. Right. And because I'm a fan of Megan Good, so I like to see her on screen.
100%.
So that's why I didn't have a problem with her being in this project.
100%.
Now, I mean, Yvette Taraji could have easily played this. You said she is older, but so Tyrese. But and this girl didn't have to be 23. She could have been 28.
Yeah.
She could have been, because this dude, Tyrese's character, got a whole son that's like 10.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So Taraji could have been a woman that could have had a 10-year-old too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it could have been that. You know what I'm saying? The fact that it was Megan Good didn't bother me.
I
want her to win. So this is my first time at 06 seeing a movie like a major film like Waist Deep starring Tyrese and Megan Good.
Yeah.
We ain't seen Megan Good in this type of role before.
Right.
I'm here for it.
And so the only reason why I bring any of this up, and we can get back to the story, is when it's the scene where they're in the bank.
I knew it. I knew it.
Okay.
I knew it.
And Megan's supposed to run interference and a distraction as the angry black woman.
Black girl.
That it's that part shows.
I gotta go back and watch that.
Yeah.
I gotta go back and watch that.
That scene shows that, like, not quite. Like, you can't, like, when that's not you.
You needed Taraji. You needed Jada Pinkett Smith.
There was Regina Hall. Yeah. You ain't gonna take my check. You ain't gonna take my money. Da da da. And it's just like, not quite queen.
Tone 2 wasn't fucking with
yeah,
it.
Not,
just, not quite queen.
Not quite queen. Like,
damn.
Not quite. And again, and it's and it was it's that part which lets me know that, like, I'm happy you're working. I'm happy you're in this movie. You're doing a lot of things well, but, like, you're like, you can't do this this character full justice.
Right.
Right? She plays the vixen part where she seduces the cop at the at the mansion.
Yeah.
She does that right. She hits a lot of the other emotional tones incredibly well. I believe that she falls in love with Tyrese and they become ride or die. But those that particular moment was just like, I mean, even like Kimora Lee Simmons, like when she shows up, it's just like, you guys are kind of field tripping a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you put these people in.
I wonder, like, why exactly? What was the conversation behind casting Kimora Lee in Kimora Lee Simmons in that role?
Probably it's relationships.
It had to be. It had to be. You know what? I got a role for you.
Yeah.
For real, what you got me do?
Yeah.
Boom.
Put you got Kimora Lee Simmons
for what?
Slinging dresses in the hood.
For what? Come on, you know what I'm saying? Now, Kimora Lee Simmons is a little urban. You know what I'm saying? She got it.
But she, like, she's in the same boat as Megan Good. Like, y'all not that.
Give me Tasha Smith.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Somebody like that. And again, the reason why I call it out is because I love the authenticity of this movie. To be quite honest, it is a underrated West Coast hood movie.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, it's shot in the hood. It's I like the pacing of it. I like the story, the grit. So it's just kind of like, that makes it a little bit more Hollywood, but it didn't need to be.
Right.
Right? Like, it didn't have to be.
Right.
You didn't have to cast Kimora Lee Simmons. I'm happy you did.
Right.
I'm glad she was in it.
But
it wasn't necessary.
And she wasn't terrible.
No.
It's more like, I'm looking at the camera because I'm looking at y'all like, it's more like, okay, but.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Out of all the female actresses you can have in there.
If you're trying to tell a real story, what you're trying to do.
Right.
And you've got all of these other beats so well, it's like, oh, okay, like, and you were a little Hollywood there.
And it's weird because sometimes I feel like, damn, I have a tough time doing, I'll find myself looking at projects and me thinking like, oh, they lose a little credibility because they got this famous person in there as a cameo. And it's like, that's unnecessary. Even now, when I see movies and I see like social media influencers in certain movies, right? And I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Here's the thing. I know I'm a social media influencer as well. But at the same time, I feel like the stuff I do online is acting, is narrative, comedy, narrative, storytelling.
Right.
So to see me doing that in a movie or a TV show is along the same lines of what I do already in my own content.
Right.
When I'm talking about the social media influencers, I'm talking about the TikTokers or the guys or the girls that just talk mess. And it's still entertaining and funny, but like they're not actors. They're really just talking.
I would want
you vlogging almost, you know what I'm saying? Doing shock value stuff like that.
Right.
And then you see him in the movie or a TV show, you're like, oh, okay. They're just grabbing someone because they have a name and the followers.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I feel like back then in 06, before the TikTok and the Twitters, they was doing stuff like finding Kimora Lee, who was a social media, not a social media figure, but at the time she was a public figure. She Kimora Lee Simpson. Kimora Lee Simmons.
I would want you to be cast in something. Like, if you show up in something, it would be because there's a character that you're great at, right? And it's not like, oh, there goes Ja just to be Ja, right? Like, Kimora Lee Simmons in this, again, she did very, to not be an actress, like, she was not rough with her acting. She was not.
She looked
very natural.
She said, I don't know him.
But it's just kind of like, okay, now that's kind of fish out of water.
Right.
Like, you know, like she's from real Westchester
and
Hamilton.
Right.
Like, you know, she wouldn't necessarily be slinging that. It's a nitpick. Uh-huh. It's a nitpick, but again, against this backdrop of what I think is this really strong, gritty street drama, there was just some casting choices, mm-hmm. right? That didn't make sense.
Another casting choice. Mm-hmm. Damn. And I have a tough time with this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try my best not to do the same thing when I put these people in my projects, mm-hmm. the kids.
Yeah.
I didn't like Junior.
Yeah. Yeah.
Junior is not
so hard to do.
It's hard to cast kids, I guess, because most kids that are acting, children actors, usually are like that. They were probably public school, private school. Mm-hmm. Their parents have had their hands on them. And when you're a kid that young, being in movies and TV and commercials, mm-hmm. is because your parents are in heavy control of your career,
yes.
and they're pushing you,
yes.
to do these things. You're not going on auditions. You're not pulling up to auditions by yourself at 10.
Right, right.
So,
right.
Like Junior, the actor, he seems like a kid, a very good kid, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Very smart. And I just feel like, what's his name? His name is, Henry Hunter Hall. Mm-hmm. Junior as Henry Hunter Hall.
Mm-hmm.
He just seemed a little too polished for me as a kid growing up with a father that's in prison, the mom is absentee, and raised by his grandma.
Yeah.
He goes to a public school, mm-hmm. and he eats like, you know, the ticket lunches. Mm-hmm. And they put cornrows in his head to make him look like a little hood kid. That's not a hood kid.
Right, right.
Henry Hunter Hall is not a hood kid, and nor did he act like a hood kid to me. Now, obviously, this kid is too old to play Junior back then in 06, but the boy from Soul Food.
Yes.
That kid could have played Tyrese's son.
Yeah.
And he seemed like a kid from the inner city.
Yeah, yeah.
Henry
yeah.
Hunter Hall doesn't seem like he's from the inner city. Even if he is, he might be one of the kids that stayed on the porch. And, at 10 years old, he don't sound like a kid that's running the streets, that has a father, and that has the upbringing that this kid is supposed to have.
It's got to be tough to find a kid. Because I think that, like, when they find one, that can do enough of what they want.
Acting.
Maybe not all.
A lot of kids who are hood, ghetto, if you want to say it,
mm-hmm.
street, from the streets, grew up in the streets with their family, they don't even know how to act, most likely, or have the patience or the understanding of how to put together a performance.
100%.
Those kids, he's probably, Henry Hunter Hall probably went to acting classes before.
And he, at that age, doesn't understand the emotion enough to be able to convey it.
Right.
So when he's on the phone talking to his dad, and it's, you know, and they're in the middle of the police chase, and the dad is in, you know, there's a different emotion.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when my kids are scared, they talk to me and you can hear the fear in their voice.
Right.
When my kids are frustrated, you can hear the frustration in their voice. So in those particular moments where Junior has to act, he's not able to channel the emotions that would be present in that situation.
Right.
And so ultimately, it takes away from the scene.
Yeah.
Tyrese is doing his thing. Right. Megan Good is doing her thing. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, hey, we got to get through the boys.
Thank you, Dad.
We got to get through the boys' lines.
Love you, Dad.
Will you buy me another horse with the spots? Like, my kid, under those circumstances, my kids know better than to ask for something. Right? So, to me, it's almost like that's poor writing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not realistic.
He's old enough to know the cops are around.
100%.
This woman I don't know is crying.
He's been in a gangster's dungeon.
Right? With a toy, though, which is weird.
He's just been in a shootout. He's in the car with his uncle that's been
dying,
shot.
Right.
And died.
No tears?
Yeah.
This kid doesn't cry at all?
Yeah.
I'm scared, Daddy.
That's
yeah.
You know, and so despite all of that, to give him those kind of lines, will you buy me a, you know what I mean? Like, this is not realistic.
Right.
This is not realistic.
If anything, writing-wise, they should have asked Tyrese is supposed to ask his son, what you want me to get you when I see you?
Yeah.
Huh? I'm going, what you want me to get you, son? To keep his son's mind off mm-hmm. what's going on, mm-hmm. let me distract him by talking about, hey, man, I know you got your favorite toy. You want me to get you the one with the blue and the green?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Something. But for him to just out the blue ask for that, mm-hmm. he's not five.
Right.
This kid is more like eight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's a little clunky. And then, like, you know, we nitpicking.
Yes.
But, like, well, okay, I'll throw another nitpick. I don't like the way Hollywood movies set in L.A. completely ignore the traffic. Right? There's a lot of situations like Tyrese, O2 and Megan Good are in the Hollywood Hills. Right? Lucky is off of like San Pedro, right? And he's like, yeah, I need you here in 10 minutes, right? Like, it's not possible.
That's a souvenir thing.
But they do a lot of that because there are a lot of little meetups. There are a lot of meet me here, meet me there. And Tyrese seems to be able to get there in like 5 minutes.
But think about it, that's Snowfall all day.
I know.
All LA movies, you gotta, like, here's the thing. Yeah. Only time in L.A. movies they actually show the traffic is in, was it Falling Down? Well, Michael Douglas?
Yeah. In 24, they never showed it.
Yes.
So it's just so if you know that, just say, like, meet me in an hour. Like, like, don't say, like, meet me in 10 minutes.
Meet me an hour and a half or such.
Yeah, meet me under the bridge in 10 minutes.
Hey, or meet me over there. Over there, nigga, you tell me meet you in 10 minutes, bro.
Yeah, that's a one-on-one. I'm in Hollywood Hills.
Bro, I'm over here on Fairfax and third, bro. What are you talking about?
It's going to take me an hour.
All right, give me an hour and a half.
It's going to take me an hour to get to Pico.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I get it.
So I don't like that. And then my last little nitpick is when we got to the ending, I liked the ending, but I didn't like the ending at all.
Okay.
Right? Like, you know, they're there, they're in Mexico, and they're living a very normal life.
Mm-hmm. Going to school.
Yeah. Like, this is one of my big movie nitpicks. And it's not necessarily about just this movie, but I hate the fact that, like, Mexico is seen as a place where you could disappear.
Right.
Right? Where you could just literally disappear and form a new life. It happens all the time.
Right.
So they get to Mexico. He's enrolled in school. He's got a girlfriend.
Dreadlocks.
They've got a routine. He's got How long have they been in Mexico before
braids.
O2 shows up?
5 months?
You think that long?
2 months?
It's kind of ambiguous, right? Like,
but it's normal. It's a movie, so I ain't tripping about that.
I mean, O2 pulls his car into the ocean. That's solid.
Uh-huh.
That's a solid getaway move. Swims underwater, evades the police. Awesome. He's already damn near in San Diego. Right? If he's by the port, like, essentially they put him by the docks.
Right.
So he's in San Diego docks, uh-huh. Oceanside docks, right? It took him 5 months, you think, like, to...
Well, okay, give him... I get that.
He's got no money.
Or does he not? I mean, he might have...
Yeah.
He might bag and...
It just would seem that...
And it's wet.
It would seem that it took him a really long time to get there. If that's the case.
You just say he has no money.
Right.
So maybe he has to stay low, motels. Maybe he goes to someone.
He has been robbing niggas for the last 2 days.
Right.
So it would seem like he could get.
You know, when they kissed in an underground structure in the parking lot, and then he left with some money.
Right.
He left with something.
So it just seems, the ending just feels a little unbelievable.
Let's say 2-3 months. Let's say 2 months.
Yeah.
60 days.
Right.
I mean, she then took his braids out, and then she locked his hair up.
Yeah.
That's too much for sure.
Does it seem like that routine that Coco has with Junior would be that? It just seemed like they had really turned the page.
Well, here's the thing.
Like it felt months? Like years had passed.
Nah, you know, I felt they... like 2 months was like this. A kid that young could easily get used to a new situation.
I guess that's true.
Especially when his dad's been in jail for so long.
Yeah.
He was raised by his grandmother. He's all over the place. So, I can see that. That's what I'm saying. This is probably too nitpicky.
Yeah, yeah. It was a little too popcorny for me.
What I didn't like is when they were walking from the house that morning on their way to school, and she says, "So tell me about school." Like, you ain't had this conversation with him before?
Right.
But because this scene is being shown at this particular time, we're talking about how you're supposed to ask him about school when he gets home from school.
Yeah.
Not the next morning on the way dropping it off.
Right.
So a better question or a better conversation to have with a kid that young or a kid in general is like, so what did you learn yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, what's going to happen for today?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Are you excited for today's lesson?
Yeah,
are
you
excited for today? What's new? Are you going to see your girlfriend today? Like, that's the question. But
yeah.
they filled it in with, like, So tell me about school.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a bad line.
It feels a little clunky. Like, I could give them a pass because they are still getting to know each other. Right. Like, you know.
That's a question you would ask him a long time
ago. Right. One of the other things that I found, I don't know if this is a nitpick or not. I want to get your opinion. So when O2 and Coco are driving through Hollywood, and Coco is like, I ain't never been to Hollywood before. Mm-hmm. Right? And she's, you know, in O2, you ain't never been to Hollywood before, right? So one part of me is like, there are a lot of people in LA that have never been to Hollywood, right? Like, so it does exist. The only thing that, like, makes it a little bit unbelievable is she's a hustler, around the way girl. She seemed like she would have been in a company of rappers. Like her moves and her hustles would have took her to Hollywood. And when she's interacting with the cop, and she convinces the cop that, like, this is why I don't know the security code, and, you know, the guy that owns the house isn't here, and I'm just his assistant. If she's that good enough to con a cop about what life is like for a kept woman in the Hollywood Hills, how could she know that if she ain't never been to a place like that before?
Nitpicky.
Isn't it nitpicky?
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because I didn't know what Burbank was until I was 28.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't think I even knew what a NoHo was. I know there was Hollywood. I know there was West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Didn't know there was a North Hollywood. Okay. Damn sure didn't know anything about a Glendale or a Burbank.
You just never got that
I knew
far.
About Pasadena.
Right.
Any city outside of South Central, I knew Pasadena. I knew
El Monte. You knew where the black people were.
I knew Covina was somewhere. I'd never been there before, but I knew there was a... I know Pasadena was all where the Bloods be at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's
right.
Literally what I thought. My aunt Mona used to live in Pasadena. You know what I'm saying? So, but Burbank and the school, anything past the 101 freeway? No.
Right.
Had no clue what it was until I started doing comedy and started going to the Ha Ha Cafe and going to Flappers
in
Burbank, Ice House, and you know what I'm saying? Pasadena. Yeah. I didn't know any of these things existed. I knew Pasadena my whole life.
Right.
But like, anything south, Long Beach, Downey, you know, Compton, Carson, Gardena, I knew all about, you know what I'm saying, all those places. But Torrance and Hawthorne, but yeah, not Burbank or North Hollywood. So if you call me, the first time I went to Hollywood to hang out in the party, I was like 20?
Yeah.
And then I had one of my homeboys' IDs.
How old is she? How old is Coco?
Probably around that.
Okay. I guess it makes sense.
Oh, well, you know what? She's probably 25 or younger. Because she had a son that got killed.
Okay.
You remember?
I guess it makes sense.
So, maybe I'm being too critical. And women are women. So women know how to finesse anybody. Yeah. She knows how to deal with cops because she's been dealing with cops for years.
This is true.
Now, I don't think that
she knew how to sell sex.
Yeah.
Wet herself,
you know what I'm saying? And throw a robe on and say, and I mean, the idea of me being someone's secretary, you don't have to. Yeah, she probably seen enough movies to know that, you know, like lawyers and doctors have, like, or these businessmen have, like, these sexy young secretaries.
Because she really came across as, I live here.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so, and her response and the journey kind of going through Hollywood and even kind of being in that house almost felt like it would seem a little bit more foreign, like that life. When she talks about her life and what's happened, it's difficult. Like it would be difficult, you know, for like somebody in the hood to now have to like play a businessman, even just for 5 minutes, and not draw suspicion, right? Like, and so in that point, like if she's never been in a house like that, she really sounded like she was very familiar. It was very convincing, enough to persuade a skeptical
officer,
cop, right? That like the alarm goes off. I belong here, and I let you know. So when she sat down and offered the niggas some buns, it was very easy. Yeah. But up until that point, like it was just kind of like, do I believe that Coco knows this world well enough to portray?
Yeah, you did figure, because I could be like, okay, this chick, all she got to do is say, I don't know the code because I'm his secretary and he said to them, I'm not supposed to be here. But, you know, him and his wife are gone with the family. And,
yeah.
So I'm just supposed to be here.
It's very sophisticated. I mean, maybe the bar is lower than...
I think it's easier for a hood chick to act valley than it is for a valley chick to act hood.
Yeah. I think if they didn't put in the I never been in Hollywood.
Okay.
I think that's once we like go through all of that before maybe we get to the Hollywood.
How
Hills,
I would write it?
Yeah.
How I would write it is I ain't never been to Hollywood. Yeah, right. What are you talking about? You ain't never been to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. No, I've never been to Hollywood. Why you say that? I'm sure you've been around all kind of ballers and niggas. And,
yep.
She be like, whatever. And she has been to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. But she hasn't been to Hollywood as in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that quick comment, that could have been the same scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But, she's you're a little bit more experienced than you.
Coco definitely been to Hollywood.
Right.
Like, I don't believe that Coco ain't never been to Hollywood.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, a woman that fine who knows how to use what you got to get what you want has been in a nightclub in Hollywood.
The only reason why I don't think she has is because she isn't that type of girl. She isn't like the girl from the hood and Baby Boy that was trying to get him to cheat on Yvette.
Yeah,
she's not scandalous like that.
Right, she's not scandalous.
She's out there selling dresses, not ass. True. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to a chick, if she had been to Hollywood and been around ballers, then that would be her job. That would be her hustle. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be selling dresses on Florence.
Yeah.
I don't think those two girls are the same chick.
Yeah. Another nitpick. That one trap house that ain't got no working toilet.
Yeah.
They in there chilling. Nigga. In there chilling.
Shitty ass.
Chilling with girls.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And the toilet doesn't work.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the trap house, though.
Yeah.
I've been in those type of houses. Mm-hmm. All niggas doing is playing video games, and the strap is right there.
Yeah.
And just
hanging
out with the girls. But the girls, we about to go. We about to go up the store, up the street real quick. I ain't got no bathroom network. Yeah. I can see that happening. Yeah. So.
And who they chose to cast is another reminder. Those don't, they were not hood niggas.
Yeah.
One is the homie Quo.
Yeah.
From that.
He's from Dina.
He is from Dina.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's got a look. He's also a Hilfiger model.
But,
right?
But I could take him looking like that.
But would he be in a trap in South Central?
I think because you know him from Quo.
Same thing with Kamora Lee.
Yeah.
Right?
Because Kamora Lee is just Jenieko.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And Jenieko is her mom black, her daddy Asian.
Yeah.
Vice versa. Her dad black, her mom Asian, and she a blazing chick from the hood.
Yeah. I'm not hating on homie. But it's just kind of like, it's the same kind of vibe. And then the other homie was the one that used to be Insecure.
Which one was he?
The one that was Amanda Seals' husband in Insecure.
That was him, huh?
Yeah, he was the other dude on the couch.
The only way I'll accept that is if he's really from L.A. and really went to Crenshaw or really went to...
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's possible. Like, I do have, for example, I got a homeboy. He's a director and a writer and a producer, too. Mm-hmm. He went to Crenshaw High School, grew up in South Central L.A., and you would not think it. You would think that he went to a private school.
Harvard Westlake.
You know what I'm saying? You would think he went there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's from the hood. And before he moved to L.A. as a young dude. But before that, he's from St. Louis.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So he doesn't know anything but hood shit.
Yeah.
He grew up in every hood that's ever, you know what I'm saying? In the worst of the world. He went from St. Louis to South Central L.A. went to Crenshaw High.
Right.
But he was a kid that wanted to do bigger things than what he was around. So he worked at a movie theater out in the valley.
Yeah.
And he read books and he watched 90210. That's the shit he, you know what I'm saying, he loves watching, you know what I'm saying? So he's a hood nigga that has like valley guy written all over him because it's how I think that's what he wanted to be.
But he would never been in a trap house.
He never would have been in a trap house. Right. But that kid, I don't know. I'll take that one.
If I think about it, like Training Day was better cast.
Mm-hmm.
And Training Day had cameos, right? You got Snoop in it. You got Macy
Gray. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But it's almost kind of like nobody in Training Day that we run into in the hood feels out of place.
Right. True.
They all, like the three guys, and let me see your gun, Holmes, Alonzo.
Yeah.
Like them three niggas look authentic. Even the niece that got assaulted, she feels authentic, right?
Shit, pristine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
the niece, for sure.
So the thing with Waist Deep is that we've got maybe some questionable casting decisions, and then we've got some like fish out of water casting decisions. And it's like, man, you were doing so good.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm into this movie.
Right.
I like this movie.
I thought
it was good.
I thought it was fun. Yeah,
And so in none of these casting decisions I think were gonna make the movie that much better.
True.
Right.
It's not like the casting decisions on these particular actors ruined the movie. I made the movie or made the movie worse. Mm-hmm. I don't think it made it worse. I think it didn't help.
Right.
It just was this there.
But
for example.
Oh, but yeah. What's interesting. Okay. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
But like, if you, instead of Kimora Lee Simmons, mm-hmm. you cast somebody that looks like she sells dresses but will kill a motherfucker.
They shoot a nigga down, yeah.
It increases the tension of that scene.
Right.
That much more mm-hmm. because you're about to rob her and there's stakes, mm-hmm. there's consequences mm-hmm. because she's a dangerous motherfucker.
Right.
You never feel like Kimora Lee Simmons is dangerous
right.
in that scene. So right. there's no tension. I'm not like, I know that whatever it is, they're going to get what they're going to get and they're going to get out of here. And they're not really in danger.
Right.
When they should be, because they're robbing somebody that's connected.
Right.
But because of who you've chosen to cast, I don't feel any fear while I'm watching the scene.
Mm-hmm.
When they go to the trap house with the boys playing the video game, because those guys, like the, I give you a case in point. Remember when we did Straight Outta Compton?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when OG Two Tone got on the bus?
Yeah.
I was fucking terrified
uh-huh.
because OG Two Tone uh-huh. looked like he would have been yeah. on that street.
Absolutely.
If you cast that, if you cast that guy in the trap house, or you know those type yeah. of people that look like that,
you know,
it changes the movie.
Yeah, true. And we didn't. I agree. Now that you say that, I agree. These niggas is young niggas in the trap house. They should be way more devious.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Even playing video games too.
Yes, but it should be
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But like, and then on top of that, with the, what was I going with it? We were talking about casting. If you cast another chick, like I think Megan did a good enough job.
Yes.
I think, believe it or not, Game did a great job to
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
We needed more of Game. I think we needed yeah. two or three more scenes
yeah. Yeah.
with him for the bad guy to be a bigger situation. His death was not as was a little wasn't
anticlimactic.
Anticlimactic,
yeah,
man, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially since it's a real. It wasn't an accident. He purposely took his son to basically ransom him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I know you got that money. I know you know where the money is. Mm-hmm. So get it. You got it 24 hours or 48 hours or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And my nitpick is he went to a trap house. He went to two different houses and got some bread
mm-hmm.
and got some deposit box keys, went to the bank, and then robbed the bank.
Yeah.
Two banks, right? Or at least two.
They said two, yeah.
And they shouldn't have enough money. It was how much did they need? They needed 100,000.
So they needed, what, they need 100,000?
100,000 or something like that?
Yeah.
Come on. I was tripping when they had only like 30,000, just 30 bands. Y'all did all this work for 30 bands? No,
right.
I don't believe it.
Right.
But
right.
I think they needed it to be at least that much money for them to keep doing, have mm-hmm. to keep doing robberies.
Yeah.
Because the money should have been more. It should have been like $500,000 or something
right.
like that.
Right. And then there's 100,000,
you rob one bank, you should be able to get that.
Yeah. It's the jewels. Okay. Let me ask you this before we get into some awards.
And the jewelry.
Yeah. Which looks fake as hell. that shit looked like the shit they was wearing in N1 videos. Right. You would know, or maybe you would know, like, that's another movie trope that, like, there's always a guy that you can move some jewelry to.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like is that
only reason, in real life? Only reason why I say that is because I know a homie that got cousins
mm-hmm.
that do that. I don't know about still, but, like, within the last 5 to 8 years, they was going downtown and they was smashing.
And they know how to move that jewelry.
They know how to get it done.
Yeah.
And so what that usually means, you take this jewelry and you take it to the Asian dudes. You go to another shop.
And sell it to the
shop. Sell it to them. You right. know what I'm saying?
And do you sell it piece by piece? Because in the movies, it's always like this cachet. Like, you know, I give you all of this for $200,000, right? That's not how it works in real life. It's like you take one necklace or one watch.
Unless you're trying to get it all fast. You get it all fast.
Then you offer it as a deep discount.
It's worth $920,000.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give it to you for $175.
Yeah.
Just take it all. Give me $175. So someone looks at this and get that little diamond thing, mm-hmm. dee, 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 the little mm-hmm. machine, or the little magnifying glass.
Yeah. Like,
how much for all this? She give me $200. $175. Deal.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay, yeah. Right, right.
No one, I'm about to make over $1 million with this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna give you 175 for it because that's what I, you know what I'm saying? And this dude don't care because he got $17 in his pocket. So $175,000.
Hell yeah.
I'll do that. And I'll come see you again in about a month with another bundle of shit I stole.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's they hustle. So
it feels dangerous in real life. Like if I
And it happens though. That's why, you know, T Grizzly got caught up. He went to jail for that shit.
Yeah.
For breaking walking into a diamond store, a jewelry store, and just walking in there with a hammer and pulling all the shit into a bag. And going there, you know what I'm saying? They either wearing some of that shit and getting rid of some of that, of it.
That's one of my biggest nightmares. One of my biggest fears, Ja, is to come across a come up. Right? Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to find a bag of money. I don't want to find a bag of jewels. I don't want to find no riches.
Why not? All right. Not a bag of jewels. I don't want that either.
Yeah.
A bag of money?
See, the only thing is this is my fear. Uh-huh. My fear is that large sums of money, either in a bag or a briefcase, has an owner.
Right.
Right? And that owner will be doing everything that they can
to
find that money.
Yeah, next to the heir.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And somehow, some way, that money is going to be linked back to me.
You think that? Okay.
And it will not be as simple as, oh, I'll just give it back.
Okay.
Right? Like, you know, so like, If you find something that belongs to a real gangster, a real thug, there's too many connective tissues. I just feel like somebody's gonna figure out that, like, you know, this guy picked it up.
Right. I get it. You watch too much movies.
I know. In real life, you could probably just walk away.
I haven't seen it. Not with a gang of bread. I remember in the back alley of my house back in the day, there was like trails of like $5, $100, $10, $100. It was like probably about $1,300 to $1,500 worth of money. Because someone had robbed something, was running through the alley.
Yeah, that's easy.
They were dropping shit.
That part is easy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I take that shit all day, every day.
I went about a bike and then all kinds of shit.
But like the briefcase,
like I would look around.
With like 500 grand in it.
Is there surveillance? If there's not, then maybe. I'm looking around.
I think I don't take that money. Yeah. Like I don't.
I feel you. And a part of me now, not now, but like as a youngster, in my teens, I'd probably be smarter. I'll probably be like, "Hey, man, I probably should just fall back,
and not
take this because I don't know what it comes with."
Like, let's say I was to come across a bag of jewels or diamonds, right? Since we're talking movie shit, I would be embarrassed to call you to be like, "Ja, first of all, I don't want to even involve you." Mm-hmm. That's why I don't even want it. Because if I got all the diamonds,
it's a dangerous thing to have.
And if I call you like, "Ja, do you know somebody that can, you know, help me move these diamonds?" Now you fucking involved.
Yeah.
Right? And now you let's say you do put me in contact with the person.
You're part of that.
And now that person, somebody that you know and trust, is now going to help me peddle my ill-gotten gains. So whoever's attached to these fucking diamonds want me, want you, want your homie. I don't even want the fucking bag.
Let me tell you what this is. It's you. It's how you were raised and the lifestyle that you lived. Before a certain age in my life, I would have for sure took that bag.
I know.
And I would have asked questions to the right people. I probably would have stashed some of the cheese and told some of my homeboys, "Hey, ask your older brothers or cousins or dad if they can," you know what I'm saying? I grew up in the hood, so I grew up in a situation where, I'm not going to say this, we'll talk afterwards.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like, I just grew up in a place where it's very easy to get into some wrong shit.
Right.
It's all around you.
And there are no
and
secrets.
And there's ways to get young. Are you looking for a young, aggressive dude? Yeah, that's 12, 13, that's down to do something. And because he's still a kid, but he's smart enough and big enough to do some shit he shouldn't be doing, but he's still a kid.
Right.
So at that point, I remember, do you remember when the black boy that got tried as an adult? It was all over the news.
Wait,
this is like 94 or 5.
What did he do?
He had a...
He killed the guy wrestling in the yard?
I can't remember. I think so.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
He did like a wrestling move on a neighbor.
I remember.
And they tried his ass.
And I remember they was like, my boy's mom was like, now see what they doing? They locking up boys. Mm-hmm. They putting boys in prison with men.
Yep.
Y'all going to be like that? Y'all going to keep on doing the dumb shit y'all been doing? Mm-hmm. I remember that whole conversation.
Yep, yep.
So as a kid, I can see how I see a bag of jewelry or I see something fall off a truck. I'm picking it up like, bro, we gonna find a way to flip this.
Yeah, like now, product, clothes, belts. I'm down to steal.
That, yeah, but not high crime shit. Like jewels, diamonds, and shit like that.
I tell you,
somebody coming back for that.
Somebody and even if this is why I won't even touch the shit. Even if I take it. And find my way to the type of person that'll give me $150,000 out the door. Why would, and I'm a nobody.
Right.
I'm not connected to nobody.
Yeah.
There's no repercussions. Just shoot me. It makes so much more sense for them to just.
Folks, yeah.
Just jack me. Yeah. Right? Like, you know, give me them diamonds. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know.
Like a snowfall.
Exactly.
Like
you know?
A snowfall. They went and got the dude, like, man, this guy jacked me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling you because you were a tough and rough dude with a rep.
Yeah.
You know, help us get this money back. He went and got the money back from the dude, raped the dude.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And then
was
shit. Like, hey, man, appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and take this.
Yeah.
You didn't do nothing. Because you called me to get this
you
back
went,
from the bad
you
guy.
You went over your head.
I'm the bad guy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't want to call nobody. Just come with me. Okay, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even want the money.
We not in that life.
Yeah.
So if you in the hood and you know and you accessible to so many other niggas as no gooders,
yeah,
then we gotta figure out how to get this going.
Yeah. I just hope I'm never.
Oh, you're not.
I hope I'm never.
Would never be
because
neither would I.
Yeah, because the thing is that like if we walk out the studio right now and you know it'd be late at night when we're done, and there's just a random car and a briefcase. And there's like, John, there's fucking $1 million.
If you see a car with the engine running and the door open,
I'm gonna take a stack. I'm not gonna take the whole thing.
I ain't gonna take the whole thing. I'm gonna take more than the stack. Because are you gonna be mad at yourself?
Yeah, right.
A stack?
Yeah.
I'm like, you're gonna spend that 3 days.
I am going to leave the briefcase there.
But the door is
with
open.
A lot of the money in it.
Got out and ran.
Yeah, but I'm gonna take what I can put in my pockets.
I probably won't take nothing.
Because I feel like
based off the scenario I just gave you.
Because I almost feel like even if somebody, if somebody comes back for the money and it's there, and they're like, man, we missing two stacks. I feel like ain't nobody going to put on like the full court investigative press for the two stacks. I feel like I got a better chance of disappearing.
Unless you're a psychopathic drug lord or a kingpin.
I want all my money.
Nino Brown?
Yeah.
I want every cent.
Yeah.
I want everything.
And now I'm working for somebody to work off this debt.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into some quick awards.
Quick awards.
If y'all haven't seen
Waist Deep, go see it, man.
Great movie. Good enough.
It was dope. It was a cool little tale.
Good enough.
And I can see how making Coco and O2 can fall in love with each other in a few days.
Yeah.
Because they both came from nothing. They both
it makes
have
sense.
Nothing.
It's a-
but I wanted a scene outside of, but before she kissed him, I wanted another scene before that one to kind of show her that this dude is different.
Yeah.
He's a kid, a rough dude that all he wants is to live life and be out the way with his son.
I mean, he gives her the necklace.
You that know, was kind of all the blue.
Out of all the jewels, that, he saves one for her. You know.
Yeah. But I feel like it was a little too soon.
Yeah.
Or a little, I wanted the execution to be a little better on those two scenes.
But I think it was a great Bonnie and Clyde. I think we've seen Bonnie and Clyde done way worse.
For sure.
In this. And in this particular instance. Like,
their back was against the wall, too.
Yeah,
they had to.
Yeah. If Tyrese had gave us a little bit more than grump face Tyrese, like, I think the romance part could have worked a lot better.
But when do you think, why would he be anything but grumpy?
I get it.
Give me any part of those 3-4 days.
I get it.
Where he's laughing or make a joke or crack a joke.
The only problem is, and I much love for Tyrese, like, that's his pocket. Like, he always plays.
But I think the character in the project, the story, kept him in that
person. Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
it worked in his favor.
It's true. Because you know what? He should not have been a man of many words.
Yeah.
Or should not have been a man of a lot of emotion and flirtation.
I think it would make sense for her to approach him. She kissed him.
Yeah.
He not thinking about getting no ass, but if it's in his lap, literally, I'm here for it.
Two quick questions.
What's that then?
Do they survive as a couple?
Yeah.
I think so.
Hell yeah. She's dealt with way worse niggas.
I think so.
Hell yeah.
I haven't done this in a while. What would Fresh do?
Fresh is not getting chased by the police.
Yes.
Fresh is not even getting caught by the police.
Yes.
And Fresh is going to blame everything on Big Meat.
Fresh is going to find a way for Big Meat. That meetup is going to be like
a staying operation.
Yeah. It's going to be, what do they call that? Where they, why am I drawing a blank? Where they put you in a trap. This is a trap. There's a specific word for it that I'm drawing a blank on that I feel so dumb.
Not a staying operation.
Not a sting, but like, you know, it's a
setup?
Not a setup. I'm drawing a blank.
You talking about is it terminology that police use?
It's like a military thing. Like a military word for like when they set a trap. Ambush.
Ambush.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. My bad. Fresh would have set up an ambush.
Uh-huh.
Like Fresh would have found a way to have like the niggas at the trap house, Kamora Lee Simmons. You know what I mean?
This other dude,
this
other dude that was over control of Coco.
Yeah,
we never saw him.
Yeah, like there was another.
That threw me off too.
Yeah, because he was like kind of like, you know, like robbing everybody. Fresh would have found a way to get them all in one spot where they go all kill each other.
Yeah, true.
Then it's done.
But it's a movie. He fell into the water. We've seen white boy movies that do that too. He jumps into the water, the car explodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He swims off somewhere and lives.
It makes sense, right?
We'll take it.
Like, you know, it totally makes sense. I guess the other like kind of like nitpick is that they had effectively gotten away from the police when they pulled into that, when they pulled into the parking structure.
You think so? They were waiting for him.
Well, I mean, like when O2 comes speeding out, they come speeding forward, right? So I guess that was the right move.
Yeah.
To get the other car, and then use one car as the bait car, and then to have her like kind of like pull out.
Yeah, imagine if they were all in the same car together.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Trying to find them nitpicks. He's trying to get them.
But I don't really like this movie. But there are some parts where it was just like, I think like a part of the nitpicks are this could have been really good.
Yeah. You watch the movie like, I'm into this movie.
I'm
like,
really into this movie. Yeah.
Okay. They bring you back. They bring you back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. You know what I'm saying?
Like, but I remember it better.
Another nitpick, yes. At the beginning where the guy gets his arm chopped off by Big Meat, why the hell is Lucky there chilling like the homie?
That's what I'm saying.
And then later on in the movie, they beating him up because he owed money.
Yeah.
Like, unless we saw him borrow the money that day, and then the next day,
he gets beat up.
Why run him down and make him pull over and then whoop his ass and threaten him?
In broad daylight at a peace rally that nobody saw.
No one saw.
In the Mert Park.
Come on, man.
Come on,
man. And then you was just hanging with this nigga the other day, and he saw you. You saw him. Like you,
that's
they would arrest you.
Great fucking point.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes parts of the story. And
that's
this
a great point.
And as much as I like the movie, this is why sometimes you get like a classic, and sometimes you get like,
You get this.
And you get this. You get this. You know what I'm saying? Which I still enjoy. I'll watch it again, too.
MVP.
MVP. MVP is O2. Otis.
I think it's O2.
Yeah.
I think like
he put the plan together. Yeah. He also knows a good leader is a person that can delegate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And he was on it from the very beginning.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
O2's the MVP.
For sure.
Like not only does he secure the dough for his boy, he kills the bad guy, gets away. Makes the ultimate sacrifice for his new girl and his son to get away, and gets away with it.
Yes,
and gets to Mexico.
And I think that I think they last.
Yeah,
I think they last.
LVP.
LVP.
For me, it's also O2.
Oh shit!
And it really comes down to trying to put hydrogen peroxide on a bullet wound.
Right. Clean the wound.
Yeah, I know. But it's just like he needed more medical. Like they literally was like, like tissue, like paper towels, and hydrogen peroxide.
I should have went to the homie that his wife's a nurse and she be having stuff in the cabinet, and he went in and went there. Something.
You should have rolled by King Drew and literally shoved him out.
Right.
My pop used to work at Drew, and he said we used to see that all night long.
Right.
Where just a car would come up and they would kick one of the homies out, and the homie would be shot or stabbed, and we would take him to the ER.
Damn.
Right? Like, you know, O2, you had to know the wound was serious.
But here's the thing.
That you weren't just going to be able to just keep driving away.
But that's the thing. It was realistic to, like, the world.
Okay.
Like, he died on the way.
Right.
I'm going to Mexico with y'all, bro. And he died. Like, I think that we knew that he was gonna die from jump, but like
right, it makes sense.
Trying to go into the bathroom.
Let me ask you a question. If you were driving around with a homie that had been shot, do you think that there's any way that you could like forget that he had been shot? Right, like you know, like
he was talking to him, he was like,
right, like in a situation like that, if there's a guy that's shot in the car,
my eyes on them the whole time,
the entire time, for like the next 30-40 minutes, everybody's gonna be focused in. You're not like everybody just kind of like just forgot he was shot. This motherfucker dies in the back.
He's already dead.
He's like been dead like, for yeah, man, 40 minutes.
Lucky?
Yeah,
you're lucky. Lucky.
Yeah. These motherfuckers have been dead since they were in Tustin, right? Like, he's been dead since Tustin, and they just noticed. That's a bit of a nitpick.
Yeah.
So it's either O2 for that or the rest of the crew.
Unless they were getting shot out, unless they were already in the shootout, they were getting distracted.
But
by
the thing
is
it's the reaction to O2 dying that gets the attention of the police. I'm sorry. It's the reaction of Lucky, once they realize Lucky is dead, that they get to swerving in the car. That draws the attention of the police.
That's bad, yeah.
Come on, man. Come on.
Yeah. He swerves, and that's what fucks.
I mean, even once you got out the hood, I understand, like, we can't take him. The block is hot. We can't take him to none of the hospitals in the hood. That makes sense.
Right.
But once you get south of Long Beach,
you better take him to a Montebello hospital.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Take him to a spot in Lakewood.
Yeah, like, you know, once you get out the hood, you know, where, and you're not being followed.
Right.
Get him some medical attention.
Yeah.
And again, like, nobody's expecting you to be sitting up in the waiting room while, you know, your mugshot is on TV.
So everybody looking at the mugshot, you in the lobby.
Yeah. That's another movie, overused movie trope.
Uh-huh.
Where, like, the person is, it's always the cashier.
Oh, snap, you're the chick for the robbery.
Right. You know, and then he played it out. Yeah, like the modern day Bonnie Clyde. Little problems with the movie, but that's my LVP.
Little writing, chinks in the armor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. My LVP is Darius Love, Rock.
Yeah,
there's no reason for him to be there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You got beat up real quick to be somebody's lieutenant.
Right.
You know.
Unless you were going to come back in the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, let's give it fists. Five Black Fists, all-time classic. One Black Fist movie that got made. How do you rank Waist Deep?
I want to give it a strong 3.
Yeah.
I wanted to give it a 4, but I'm like, nah. It's not a classic, but it's not a 4, because 4 is like, it almost was a classic.
Mm-hmm.
3, a strong 3 is like, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
But it's almost a classic.
It could have been a 4.
Uh-huh.
It's a 3.
Yeah.
It's a 3. There are parts of this movie that I really like.
I needed more of the antagonist. I needed more mm-hmm. of him. And
more the villain, more the big bad. Yeah.
Right. And maybe there's a cop mm-hmm. that we have a face to.
Yep.
Like in the town, there was what's his name? Man, last name, the actor. We in the town with
Yeah.
Like he was like a detective that's trying to find them
mm-hmm.
and he might see
that's a great movie, by
the way. Come on now. If it's a blackbuster, we'd watch it. We put it on there. But yeah, so I just feel like it kind of made me feel like lesser of a budget movie,
mm-hmm.
even though it wasn't, because there was no perspective to the police.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying?
I looked at the director, Vonnie Curtis Hall's, you know, filmography, and he's got some good films in there. Like Gridlocked is one of his. You know, mm-hmm. Waist Deep is one of his. I would have loved for him to have more opportunities to have made more movies because I think he had, I think there was real talent there.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, it felt a little bit like Antoine Fuqua, right? Like, you know, like I think that, like, if the guy had gotten more shots, it would have been awesome.
Right.
But, he, but overall,
this guy
deserved
to have more shots for sure.
It's a good, it's good. It's a solid three.
Mm-hmm.
Solid three.
Yeah, I agree. And he wrote this bad boy. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
They just,
yeah, man.
His casting director fucked it up.
Yeah, not majorly, but enough to for us to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get better at hood kids, man. We got to get better at hood kids.
Ah, I see why the kid was cast. The kid is his son.
Okay.
He's a director's son.
Okay. Hence Hall. Yeah.
Yep.
Henry Hall.
Yep. I'm literally just looked at it. Okay. Yeah. All right.
But see, dude, my point exactly. A kid like this wouldn't play this character unless he's the damn director's son.
Right. Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yeah.
This I'm is not bad at it.
You know? I understand. You got to put your kids on.
The black nepotism makes sense.
Yeah. But that's makes why sense. You got to, yeah, man. It's,
okay. It is what it is.
It's what it is, man. Good movie. Solid three.
Mm-hmm.
Waist deep. I'd watch it again.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it again. Just because I just want to.
It was good.
Yeah,
it was
good. For sure. And Game need more characters like that. He did a good job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Lemurence Tate is Lemurence Tate, man. We know he's a monster. Mm-hmm. He does his thing. All right, man. That's another episode of Blackbusters. I'm your host, Big Ja, along with my co-host.
I'm not Tone Deep. Tone 2.
Tone 2.
Tone 2.
You know what I'm saying? Tone 2.
I like that.
Yep.
I like that.
And we are out of here, man. Catch us next time. Be good or be good at it. Pew to the max.
Blackbusters.